To see you this evening in the revival services, and we appreciate you coming and being in the meeting tonight. We've had a good revival service, series of meetings. I believe the Lord has met with us, and that's what it's all about. If we come together and we just have a social gathering, we've wasted our time. But if the Lord comes to be with us, it's right on target. Where it ought to be. So I sure thank the Lord for that. Let's turn in our hymn books to hymn number 409, Hold the Fort. And we're going to sing the first and the second and the last verses as we stand and sing 409 in your red book, Hold the Fort. And presence of Jesus. And that's what's going to make heaven heaven. And so I'm glad that's going to happen one day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessings on tonight's revival effort. We're glad to have Dr. Billy Young from over at Faith Baptist Tabernacle in Stokesdale, and we'll ask Brother Young to lead us in prayer at this time. Everybody but the preachers can sit down. Well, you know, male preachers. And so we want to acknowledge all our preachers tonight and tell you we appreciate you coming and working the time into your busy schedule and be with us tonight. We'll start over here with our evangelist.
Daniel Church from the Midway Baptist. Great church, Pastor Summerfield Baptist.
All right. Thank you, preachers, for being here. Now, Brother Daniel, whether he realizes it or not, is walking on eggshells. Because last night, his daddy and daddy-in-law was here. Tonight, his pastor's here. And his wife is here.
one of the messages I got for one.
I bet Miss Holly wrote a good one. Women, wives always write good sermons, don't they? It's where we get our inspiration, or is it perspiration? I don't know. It's one of those. All right. Let's have a fellowship song. Go around and greet one another in the Lord like we said last night. Greet, grit, and grin, okay? All right. What do we got, Brother Billy?
Number 367. His way with thee. Number 367.
367. We'll sing the first, second, fellowship, and back on the last. Amen. Let that be our prayer, that the Lord have his way with every one of us. Amen. All right, thank you. Let you be seated. We've had some good music this week. We appreciate Sunday. We had our choir and had Sister Teresa to sing in the morning service, and we had God's Desert Rose in our afternoon service. And then last night, Brother James Lane did a good job, and we appreciate that. And now we got Brother Gary. I'm saying Walker. That's not right.
Clark.
Okay, thank you. I got three-quarter Heimers. And so I appreciate that. He's going to come sing and bless us with three songs the Lord has laid upon his heart. So you be sure and pray for him as he comes. All right?
Some of y'all, now, buddy, you'll have to stay. But the rest of them might want to get up and run when we start singing. This is my little sister. She started singing with me. She told me not to tell this when she turned 80. And you ready? Where's Judas?
He had to run back and get his car.
You know how to do it?
Yeah.
Well, I sure don't. I'm ready when you are. A loved one knew he'd reached the end of life's journey, but he'd been holding to God's hand a long, long time. And as I knelt beside his bed, my heart was thrilled at what he said. If I go or if I stay, victory is mine. I'm a winner either way. If I go or if I stay, for I'll still have my Jesus each passing day. I'll have my healing here below, or life forever if I go. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way. None of us really knows about tomorrow. We must prepare to go to heaven any day. But while we're here, let's trust the Lord. He'll lead us safe to our reward. And by his grace, we'll be a winner either way. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay, for I still have my Jesus each passing day. I'll have my healing here below, or life forever if I go. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay, for I still have my Jesus each passing day. I'll have my healing here below, or life forever if I go. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way. It, just let it roll. You might have turned it up a little bit now. Let's see here. Calvary is the reason why is the name of this next song. Yeah, up a little bit. I was lost, but you knew where to find me. I was hungry, you were bread for my soul. I was thirsty, and you gave living water. You were my shelter when I had no place to go. That's why sometimes I just want to praise you. Sometimes just to speak your name. Sometimes I just want to thank you. Without asking you for a thing. Oh, sometimes I lift my hands to you. Sometimes all I do is cry. Everything that I have, I owe to you. Lord, and Calvary's the reason why. When I think of the love that you've given me, Lord, when I think of the price you paid for me, then the strifes of this old earth, they seem like nothing. When they're compared to dark Calvary, oh, sometimes I just want to praise you. Sometimes just to speak your name. Sometimes I just want to thank you. Without asking you for a thing. Sometimes I lift my hands to you. Sometimes all I do is cry. Everything that I have, I owe to you. Lord, and Calvary's the reason why. Yes, sometimes I just want to praise you. Sometimes just to speak your name. Sometimes I just want to thank you. Without asking you for a thing. Oh, sometimes I lift my hands to you. Sometimes all I do is cry. Everything that I have, I owe to you. Lord, and Calvary's the reason why. Everything that I have, I owe to you. Lord, and Calvary's the reason why.
I didn't wonder where you went. Thought maybe she done left on me. This next song is one of the old songs called The Lighthouse. There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin he has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Everybody that lives around us said, tear that old lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw that light. Yes, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin he has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for that lighthouse, where would this ship be? If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? I am thankful for that lighthouse, I'll tell you. My soul is saved, and it's going to be that way. Nothing can change it. And I thank y'all for letting us come tonight and sing.
All right. Thank you, folks, for that good music. You can't beat the old songs. Just like a lot of us when we preach. I was talking to a preacher friend the other day. We were talking about these preachers that copyright everything they do. I don't know how you can do that. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And if somebody said if it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. And so I thank God just the fact that we get up and preach the word of the Lord that's been around all these years. And I thank God for the old songs. And praise God for them. God's used those old songs. I like the old songs especially because they got so much good theology in them. And I'm not real crazy about these new songs that remind me of the Beatles. Now, I said that because I was in a Christian school chapel one time, and they had taken the words of one of the old Beatles songs and adapted to contemporary, I don't know if I ought to say Christian music, but if I want to hear the Beatles, I just go get me a record. I don't want to hear that in church. And I like the old music. I thank God for the good music we've had this week. What a blessing. And I thank God for the good preaching. Brother Daniel has come, I believe, has sought the face of the Lord, and I believe he's preached the messages that God has wanted him to present to us thus far. And I believe that once again, tonight, we will have from the Lord what he has laid upon this preacher's heart. So I want you to pray for him as he comes and shares the word of the Lord tonight.
That could be dangerous. He's talking about those songs that they. I remember there's a song a fella come out with, Billy Ray Cyrus. Come out with that song, Achy Breaky Heart. I was riding down the road one day, listening to the Southern Gospel station out of Lexington. Used to be down there, used to be 94.1. And all of a sudden, I heard that music come on. I said, what in the world? And somebody, some Southern Gospel crew, bunch, whatever they were, had taken and rearranged the songs of that, words to that song, and tried to make it into a Southern Gospel song. I said, dear God. That's one of the worst things I think I've ever heard in my life. And I had never made any sense to me. But I appreciate the old songs too. I like those songs that he sang tonight. And I like that song, The Lighthouse. That's a good song. Praise God for The Lighthouse. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to two places in the Word of God. First place we'll be looking at is 1 Peter chapter number 1. And then the second portion of Scripture will be Mark chapter number 5. Let me say it is again a blessing to have these preachers here tonight. I told them last night and made me nervous, but I didn't know any of them. I know y'all and y'all know me, so that makes me even more nervous. I appreciate Brother Billy Young. Brother Young coming all the way up here from the big town of Stokesdale. And I appreciate Brother Billy. Appreciate his testimony. Appreciate his kindness toward us. He and Sister Ruth, that's a real blessing. Of course, I appreciate my pastor being here tonight and driving up here from Greensboro. And he was in Indiana last week. And now here he is in Virginia. He's a traveling man. He said, I was talking about, we've had some good singing this week. I was telling him, before service, he said, the meeting he was in up in Indiana, the pastor got up in the pulpit, and this ain't ever going out nowhere, is it? It don't matter. He got up in the pulpit before Brother Charles preached, said, all right, anybody got a song on your heart? Anybody? Anybody? Going once. Somebody. God, let's talk about people. You know, a lot of preachers, they don't like it when you have a preacher, some singing group come in. Well, praise God, it's better than begging and pleading for somebody to come up and sing a song. Dear God, son, somebody should have stood up and done something. I mean, I could have done like my niece did. I shouldn't tell this, should I? I probably will. My niece, they had her sing in church one day, and years ago, she was real young. Daddy, I'm telling the story. I'm not, it doesn't matter how old she was. My daddy's trying to tell me how to tell his illustrations. So. But she was a little girl. They had her get up and sing, and she sung Jesus Loves Me. And everybody thought that was wonderful, thought it was just great. She sung that, and they said, sing another song. And she said she didn't know another song. And her mama said, you do too know another song. And she said, no, no. She said, you know that song, you know what I'm talking about? And then she said, oh, okay. She started saying, I searched the world over and thought I found true love. God. It's a blessing, isn't it? Amen. Ready to worship now, ain't we? Amen. Do appreciate my dad being here again tonight. My mom, having my wife with me again tonight. Glad Bethany got saved and right with God and come to church finally. I don't know where in the world she's been. But anyway, we won't even talk about that. But Van will start tearing up and all this stuff. I don't even want to tell you. He was just a wreck last night when we was talking about it at supper. I said, are you excited? Miss Darlene said, oh, yes, I'm excited. But Van's like, Amen. Well, the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1 tonight. And want to begin reading in verse number 6. The Bible says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. It's an interesting statement there, right? In verse number 9, receiving the end of your faith. We live by faith, and that's what we have a comprehension of in this life, because there are things that we believe that we do not see, but that we know through faith are real. But Peter says in verse number 9 that one day we will receive the end of your faith. That's an interesting thought. That's not what I'm preaching on tonight, but I'm thinking about it. Amen. Even the salvation of your souls. I'm glad for the truths that we find in the Word of God. Here in 1 Peter chapter number 1, in the text that we've read thus far, we'll turn to Mark in just a few moments, we have found that Peter begins to deal with this thought in verse number 7 of the trial of your faith. We think about faith, and we think about one of the things that comes to my mind is Hebrews chapter number 11, that great chapter on faith. The Bible says, of course, in verses number 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We think about the possibilities there are of faith. If we were to read all of the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, we would find the things that were accomplished because of the faith of the individuals that are mentioned in that chapter. We think about Noah, who hit because of his faith, built an ark, the Bible said, to the saving of his family. And Abraham, by faith, left Ur of the Chaldees and left the land of his father
and went to a land that God promised him. And we find Moses, by faith, served the Lord and wandered in the wilderness and did what God told him to do as a leader of Egypt. We see the possibilities of faith. And the writer of the book of Hebrews closes this chapter by saying, he begins to talk about kingdoms that were overthrown, and women received their children brought back to life, and families were put back together, all because of faith. The possibilities of faith, and we see the proof of faith. We see that in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is a proof. Faith and works go together. You can't separate the two. James did it and said it so well in his book as he wrote. They said, faith without works is dead. How in the world would we know that Noah had faith in God had he never built the ark? How would we have known about the faith of Abel had he not offered a sacrifice for the Lord? Faith and works go together. We don't like to hear that, but it's true. And of course, we saw there in verse number 9, we think about the perfection of faith. The perfection of faith, he said, receiving the end of your faith. Well, I am so excited about the end of my faith. Amen. It's coming up the road this evening, and as soon as the song came on the radio, I knew exactly who it was. I knew exactly what it was. I knew who wrote it, knew what album it was on. I could see the picture on the front of the record cover that sits in my mom and daddy's record player at the house. Beulah Land. Squire Parsons began to sing, "I'm Kind of Homesick," for a country that I've never been to before. He talks about this, "My faith will be made sight." That's a day I'm looking forward to, amen. But we find here in our text in 1 Peter that Peter says, mentions this trial of your faith. God being my helper tonight, I want to preach on the trial of your faith. Turn with me to the book of Mark chapter number 5 and begin reading in verse number 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship on the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. And she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched me?" His disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Let's stop reading for a moment tonight and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the truths that are contained within. Lord, I pray tonight that as we look in these texts, Lord, that you'll help us not only to see the truth that is there, but the illustration that you have for us. God, I'm glad that as we look in the Word, this, as we said Sunday, was not just a Bible, not just ink on paper, not just commands that are written down, 1, 2, 3, how we should live, but God, certainly gave us some principles and precepts, and then you gave some illustrations, and I'm thankful for those illustrations tonight. I pray that you'd help us to see it, help us to take it by the Holy Ghost and apply it to our lives, and live for you, bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Now we find here that Jairus in verses 22 and verse 23, I would like to say that Jairus exercised some faith. The Bible said that there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. You understand what that means? He was part of those. He was part of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He was one of those who were against the Lord. He was one of those who sought to kill the Lord. He was a part of those who said the whole world goes after him. And he was one of those that were jealous of the popularity that Jesus had gained. But because of the situation he was in, because of the problem that he was facing, he exercised some faith in this man that he had heard could heal the sick, that he had heard could make the blind see, that he had heard could make the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. He said if he can do those things for those people, maybe he can do something for me. My daughter is sick. Listen, he came because he recognized his authority. Look what it says in verse number 22. He said, I pray, in verse 22, that he said, when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Jairus wasn't just coming to Jesus because he thought he's a good teacher. No, he recognized the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to him and the Bible said he fell at his feet. He paid homage to him. He worshiped him openly. He gave glory to him. He said, I am not worthy, but you're worthy of all praise and honor and glory. Boy, that's how we need to come to God tonight, isn't it? Amen. We need to come with a humble spirit and a humble heart. I'm truly tonight, I'm humbled by these men, my pastor, my daddy, and Brother Young coming all the way up here. I know they come to see Brother Van. I know they come to fellowship with him. But praise God, they get to come and they hear me preach. I appreciate you, brother, coming tonight. Don't know me, I reckon, from Adam's house cat. But you come over here anyway. I appreciate it. Listen, we got so big that we think we can bring revival in our pockets. We got so big that we know how to do it. Everything is all planned out. 1, 2, 3. All right, let's sing this. Let's shake hands. Let's do that. We've got everything planned out on how we ought to do stuff. Yeah. We got programs. We got more programs than we need to have. We got more plans than we need to have. I like it when God wrecks our plans, amen. I like it when God does something that we don't expect. Talked about that last night, didn't we? Old Peter over there said, I thought I knew who he was. He didn't turn out to be what I thought he was going to be. He's a whole lot bigger than I thought he was going to be. Well, I like it when God does that, though. But he does that when we come to him in humility. Recognize his authority. Not only that, he recognizes his ability. Notice what he said. Verse 23. He said, if you lay your hands on her, she may be healed. And she shall live. She recognized the ability. He recognized the ability that Jesus had. There's a lot of people who go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They fail to recognize the ability the Lord has. You know, we fail a lot of times in our lives to recognize God's ability. You know, Jairus, though, he exercised his faith. He gave some evidence of it. Then we see another person come into the picture here. I'll not be long tonight, but we see this woman with the issue of blood. Now, I've heard, I want to try to tie this in together. And I've heard people preach on Jairus' daughter. And I've heard people preach on the woman with the issue of blood. And for some reason, they preach on them independent one of another somehow. But these two people are bound together in this scene. This is not two separate incidents that's happening. This is one thing that's going on at the same time. And I wasn't going to do this tonight, but I'm going to draft somebody from the audience tonight. All right? I'm trying to figure out now. Brother, can you come and help me? Come on up here. I want you to picture this. Come on up here. Praise God. I'm glad he came back. Service started, he left. Where he went to. Could you picture this just for a moment, if you can? Now, I'm going to be Jairus, okay? And you're Jesus. Understand now, I know, it's a bad picture, but y'all just use your imaginations as much as you can.
My imagination works that way.
But you understand, Jairus comes, and he's a desperate man. I want you to understand the desperation he's in. His daughter, I don't know if it's his only daughter. I don't know if it's his baby daughter or his old. I have no idea. And it really don't matter. Because you, it wouldn't matter to you if it was your oldest or your youngest or your middle. It's your daughter. And Jairus is desperate. He comes to the Lord. He said, come on, I need you to come. My house is this way. Come on. Come on, my house. I need to get you to my daughter. She's over here and she's dying.
Understand?
Have a seat. I'll use you again in a minute. In the middle of that, as Jairus is trying to get through the crowd, as he's trying to get to his house, all of a sudden Jesus stops and says, who touched me? Now understand, everybody, all the disciples around him, they're caught up with Jairus too. Because they're just as confused as he is. I don't know who said it. I imagine it's probably Peter. We'll pick on him tonight again. He said, Lord, you see this multitude of people around you, right? And you ask, who touched you? He said, I can point out about 15 that just touched me. If they touch me again, I'm liable to sock them. Get out of the way. This man's daughter's dying. But no, he said, no, someone touched me in faith.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We saw Jairus' faith was exercised and he left his home and came down. We see this woman's faith is extended.
Yes, sir.
She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. The hem, you know, my hem is, you know, on my coat up here. Jesus' hem is down here on his robe. It gives the indication that she got down on her hands and knees in that crowd as Jesus passed by and she reached. You see, as desperate as Jairus is to get Jesus to his daughter, this woman has suffered. She has suffered pain for 12 years. I mean, in here tonight, may understand what it is to have chronic pain. I mean, you know, to always be in pain. Doesn't matter how much medicine you take, but you know, my pastor's here. I watch him go to the doctor every so often and get fluid drained off his knee and get a cortisone shot. He's a lot of times he has a chronic knee problem. And I know a lot of people who have chronic back pain and different things. Do you understand this woman? And she is in pain all the time.
Yes.
And she's desperate to get rid of it. In so much that she probably risk getting trampled to get to touch the hem of his garment. She suffered pain and she also suffered from physicians. Like Job said, they're physicians of no value. But Job said to his friends who stood around, he said, you are all physicians of no value. The Bible says she spent all that she had
Every last dime of her money. I don't know how much money she had. She could have been a wealthy woman. But what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will you, if you had money tonight, you're sick, you'd spend every dime you had to get better.
Yes, sir.
I stopped on the way here last night. I mowed the grass yesterday, and I took some allergy medication after I mowed the grass, which my wife informed me as a nurse, in her professional opinion, I should have taken it before I mowed the grass. She was right. I sneezed all through supper. I sneezed and rubbed my nose. Sneezed, rubbed my nose, take a bite of food. I wasn't about to let that stop.
Yeah.
I sneezed, rubbed my nose all the way. And on the way up here, I said, I got to stop and get something. I saw a CVS. I went in there and I got something for my sinuses. Man, it worked great. I'm not doing a commercial because they ain't paying me for it. But anyway. And I went in there and I did not pay $2.99 for this. You go in CVS, you're not going to get out cheap. You go looking for something that's going to help you, you're going to have to pay for it. And it ain't going to last long. You're going to run out of it in a minute, and you're going to have to go pay for it again. You think about what this lady had gone through. She didn't have CVS's on the corner. It wasn't a situation where they just come in and give you a shot. Can you imagine the stuff that she went through? From these doctors who said, we can help you.
Yeah.
I'll be glad to help you. That'll be, how much do you have? Oh, that'll cover it right there. Brother Charles went a few months ago to get an MRI. They told him how much it was going to be. He changed his mind.
Yeah,
he's sitting there, he's like, we got to go. Before they, honey, don't give them no address. My last name is Church, if anybody asks. But this woman, she's in pain. What she suffered, what she endured. She gets to Jesus. She touches him. Immediately.
Yes, sir.
Immediately. She's made whole.
Amen.
Lord, praise God. Now understand, wait a second. With me here. Jesus is dealing with this woman with the issue of blood. And everybody is talking with her now. The disciples are talking with her now. The issue of blood's gone. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. I can hear somebody behind them who's known this woman say, praise the Lord. And I hear someone over next to them say, hallelujah. I see somebody else breaking into song, talking about what a miracle this is. What a great thing this is. How wonderful it is. Meanwhile, back over here, Jairus has just sat down and said, well, you're not going anywhere now. Daughter's still at home, and he's just over there.
Yes.
We saw faith exercised. We've seen faith extended. Now we see faith exhausted.
That's right. That's right.
Over here, people are dancing and shouting, praising the Lord.
Yes.
And everybody forgot about Jerry. Here comes somebody from Jairus' house.
Mm-hmm.
Jairus, let me tell you. She's gone. That's just, don't even trouble the master. You ever been in church and over here on this side of the altar? Over here on this side of the altar, somebody who everybody been praying for. Down here getting some help. Something being put together in their heart and mind. Homes getting put back together. People getting saved. People's up shouting, praising the Lord.
But you sitting back in the pew back there, and your heart's broken, but somebody came to you and said, it's David. It's done. You're glad for them. I'm glad they're getting some help. There's no help with me now. I'm glad this woman with issue of blood, I'm glad she got some help. Old Jairus over here.
Right.
He's exhausted his faith. You ever been there?
Yes, sir.
Amen. You ever been in that place where you thought, and you believed, you trusted, you did the right thing, you put God first, you came to Him with your problem? You prayed and you felt like you was about to get an answer, and all of a sudden, nothing. Everybody's over here praising God, rejoicing with this woman.
Yes.
Cherishing daughters. I'm glad the story doesn't end. Now that I've got y'all depressed. Jairus is sitting here and everybody's paid attention. Now Jesus just stops from here.
Yes,
he turns back and he says, wasn't we going to your house?
Yeah,
everybody else may have forgot about your little problem, Jairus, but I seem to recall you was trying to drag me down the street a while ago.
Yeah.
I seem to believe that you wanted me to go and see your daughter. It's too late.
Yeah.
Come on, Jairus. Jairus, I know a while ago it was you pulling me. But right now, I'm pulling you. Because what I want to do, Jairus, is I want to take your faith that's exhausted to the end of this rope, and that you think all hope is gone and lost.
Yeah.
Let me do a little encouragement here for you.
Right.
Sit down. Oh, Jairus got there and they got to the house and she's dead. There's something interesting about this. Notice what it said in our text over in the book of 1 Peter. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire, might be found, listen, unto the praise and honor and glory at the what? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. Who's about to show up at Jairus' house?
Yes,
Jesus is about to appear there.
Yes.
You know, the trial of Jairus' faith. I know we talk about this woman with the issue of blood, but Jairus is the story here. Jairus is the one we're looking at here. Because we've all been in Jairus' shoes. We've been that place where our faith is exhausted. We say, God, I did what you told me to do. God, I remember the night you told me to do it. I remember the assurance you gave in my heart that it was the right thing to do. And here I am, sitting on the side of the road while everybody else is getting blessed and everybody else is going on and moving on for God. And God, you just left me here by myself not to do anything. It's in that moment that God shows us that He has not forgotten us. That God shows us that He's doing something in our life, working when we didn't think He was working. What's interesting is this, is the Bible said this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. You say, why is that interesting, preacher? Because in verse number 42, the Bible tells us that his daughter was 12 years old. You know, 12 years ago, Jairus and this woman may have not even known each other. But I believe, and you can not believe this if you want to, but I like it. I believe the day that Jairus' daughter was born is the day this woman got sick.
Good.
They lived in the same town.
Yeah.
And as Jairus' daughter was raised up and growing up, this woman's on her way down. And as Jairus' daughter got sick and become ill to the point of death, this woman became depressed and discouraged and said, "Nothing will ever help me." But these two people with two very different problems came to the same place and solved their problem together on the same day. God was working in their lives and they had no idea what was going on. Oh, we would have said, what a wonderful thing it is for this woman to have been healed from her issue of blood. Or what a wonderful thing it is for Jairus' daughter to be raised from the dead. How great it was. But how great is it when we look through the prism of history and the Word of God and see that God Himself orchestrated it all, that He set it all into motion, that He did it for His honor and His glory. That the trial of your faith may bring honor and glory to God. I'm telling you, when your faith is exhausted and when you've come to the end of your rope, that's exactly where God steps in at. Why? Because if He stepped in any sooner, we might miss Him. If He came by when we was doing well, we might think, well, we're just doing fine. May not be able to give Him some glory. If He came by when the checkbook was full and the bills was paid, if He came by when nobody had cancer, we might miss Him. We didn't came by when things were going well. We may not have noticed Him. Oh, but when we were sick and we were down to the end of our robes, He came by and we couldn't help but see Him. We couldn't help but feel Him. We couldn't help but praise Him for what He's done. Look what it says in verse number 36. Jesus encouraged him. Verse number 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word was spoken, He said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." He said, "Jairus, you know what you've been doing the whole time since I got here? Faith and belief. Don't stop now." No, I know, Jairus, I know you just got the worst news of your life. I'm just telling you, just keep doing what you've been doing. Just believe. I'm telling you what, tonight, you know the thing you've been doing? Trusting and believing. Trusting and obeying. Just keep doing that. Just keep doing that. But preacher, you don't know my situation. Well, I don't. You don't know my situation, so we're even. Everybody, you know what I found about situations? Everyone has them. Everybody has a situation. Well, if you only understood my situation, well, then I'd be God. And I'm not, so there. Listen, you know how many times as a pastor somebody come to you, "Preacher, let me tell you about my situation." And every time we answer them the same way. Well, you know, God can take care of it. And they seem to have a problem with that. It's too simple. But God works in simple ways, don't He?
Amen.
He said, "Only believe." Sounds so simple, doesn't it?
Yes.
Jesus' intention was this, His encouragement in verse 36. His intention is this. When He came in, He said to them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." They laughed Him to scorn. But when He had put them all out, praise God, I'm glad He got the doubters out of there. I'm tell you what, when you have a situation, people like to come around your situation and commiserate with you. Get them out. That's scriptural, biblical, happened right there. Jesus did it, you can too. These people that want to commiserate with you and encourage you to be discouraged, get them out, get away from them, get them out your house. That's praise God for caller ID.
Yeah.
If it's that important, leave a message. If I think it's that important, I'll call you back.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need to know about how, you know, everything went wrong in your life. I just need some encouragement. Jesus' intention, He never, understand this, His intention never was to not go to Jairus' house. It was always in his mind and in his will to go to Jairus' house. Let me say something to you tonight. It is not his intention to leave you where you're laid. It is not his intention for you to stay broken and hurt and beaten. It is his intention to come to where your need is and meet it at the hour of his choosing. You know, I said Sunday that Caleb's family had a song to sing. I think old Jairus, when it was all said and done, he had a song to sing. He probably sat down years later and looked around. He's talking about this incident with his little girl. And they may have been sitting around with that woman with the issue of blood. He might have said something like this: if I had to start over and relive my life, there's nothing that I'd like to change. For I started with Jesus.
Yes.
With him I'll be. I'd do it all over again.
Yes, sir.
This life has its heartaches, and I've had my share, but never too much to give in. And when I'm asked the question, is it worth all the pain, I say I'd do it all over again. And I'd do it all over again. I'd walk on with Jesus, for he's my best friend. I'd never give up living for what this world's giving. I'd do it all over again. It's hard to say when you're sitting there defeated and discouraged. But I'm glad, looking back through the defeat. We talked about Peter last night. I'm glad, looking back through the discouragement of this woman with the issue of blood and through the disheartenedness of Jairus, I'd say tonight that those three people would not trade the trial of their faith for anything in the world because of who it made them and who it made them look at. You might be here tonight going through trials and problems that nobody knows about. And you just sit down. You say, God, I thought you was going to do something. I thought we was headed somewhere. I'm telling you tonight, it's not his intention to go halfway in your life. God did not bring you here to leave you here. He brought you here so he could carry you the rest of the way. I almost think that he almost carried Jairus home. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Boy, we all know about that pole, those footprints.
Yes, sir.
Lord, why'd you let me walk alone? No. You weren't walking alone. It was in those times that I was carrying you. I don't know what your situation. They've come tonight, a verse of invitation. I don't know what they have in store, but I'm so glad tonight that my Savior, when I can't go any further, can carry me and fulfill his will in my life. Let's all stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, tonight, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd take these words have spoken tonight. I don't know. It may be something that was needed for the moment now, or if it's something that was needed for in days to come. And maybe you just may have taken this opportunity tonight to answer some long, unanswered questions in people's hearts. Whatever it is, take this word, God, and mold it and make it into our hearts. Help us not forget it, this great truth of the trial of our faith. It'll be something glorious for your name. In Jesus' name. We sing what number, Brother Buddy?
Number 247, Jesus is calling.
Amen. You need to come tonight. Come on.
Preacher is, don't you? Tithes and offerings, amen. All right, thank you for the good offering yesterday, and pray that you, if you're able to give, that you will give. And for our folks, hope that if you have not given yet, you're praying about a special one-time gift for our visiting evangelist. So you pray as God has blessed and prospered you, okay? All right, good to have a good friend of mine, Dr. Kendall Smith, with us, pastor of the Sandy Level Baptist Church up in Sandy Level, up the other side of this big old Pennsylvania county. And I appreciate he and his dear wife, Fran, being with us tonight. I'm going to ask Dr. Smith to pray for us and ask God's blessing on the time of the gift and the giver.
Father, we pray you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the mercy you've shown us, the blessing you've bestowed toward us. Father, we ask you, Lord, to take this offering, Father, to take it to you, Lord. God, that it would be a blessing.
Sister, thank you for coming and being with us tonight. What a blessing. Enjoyed that good music. The Lord's blessed us with some good music this week, and good music will prepare the heart for God's Word. And I've been in some services where I was ready to kind of walk out. And I needed God after that. And we've had some good music. Now, tomorrow night we're going to have some home folks singing. I think that Miss Holly Church is going to be singing for us. Is that right, Brother Daniel? Is that correct? Is that right? Yeah. Did you volunteer her? With a hammerlock? No. Okay. All right. We'll look forward to her singing tomorrow night. And I'm going to get myself in trouble because my wife and Bethany and I are going to be singing tomorrow night. They don't know that yet. But I just told them. All right. Now, see, I can say that now because we're all here. Now, later might be a different story. Yes, thank you. And then, Miss Teresa, I don't know if y'all got anything planned for tomorrow night, but you know what would be good? Miss Nancy's not here, so I can volunteer her maybe. Have you and Miss Nancy and this Holly maybe sing. Y'all did that a few weeks ago, I think. Well, it's been longer than that. Before you went away to college, y'all sang. And maybe you can talk them into singing tomorrow night. Okay. We'll know. We'll have something ready. So that'll be good. All right. Thank you again for being here. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for coming. And if you didn't get a blessing tonight, your wood was wet.
Amen.
Amen. That was good from the Lord. Brother Julius, praise the Lord. I just thought it was interesting. I used him a few weeks ago, too, like you did. It's like, is there something on his right there? I don't know.
I think you just picked the last person.
All right. Brother Mustin, will you dismiss us in prayer at this time?
Lord, we're so grateful, God, that you have brought us to this place tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all the good singing, all the good preaching of thy word, God, tonight. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us again, Father, that, Lord, you never forget about us. We're grateful, God, tonight. Father, we pray, God, you bless this church, bless the meeting, the remainder of the meeting, may Christ be exalted and honored. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes.